Okay, so now I'm going to talk about what's happening today. So I said the system is changing. It's always been changing. But that doesn't mean that the changes that are happening today aren't much, much faster than anything we've seen. And that is, in fact, what we've seen. There are ways in which systems change naturally, like the moving in and out of glacial periods. There are ways that the system has changed through fishing over centuries. But then the pace at which change is happening today, right now, is like nothing we've ever seen. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on now. This is a map. You can see the Gulf of Maine. I wonder if I can use this pointer. Yeah, you can see the Gulf of Maine right there. What the colors are showing you is the rate of temperature change over the past decade. So areas where it's yellow and red means a faster warming. Area where it's white means no change. And then the green and the blue, actually, there's been a cooling over the last 10 years. And you can see that the Gulf of Maine stands out like a sore thumb. We've had some of the fastest warming basically ever recorded when you look at that sort of decadal time scale. This is another way to do it. I should mention, by the way, that I was a math major, so I really like charts and graphs. I'm going to expose you to a few of those. Hopefully it won't be too geeky, but you'll definitely see my geek side come out a little bit. This is a histogram, so if you're geeky like me, you like histograms. If not, I'll explain it. This is just showing you, if you took all the sort of the whole ocean together and said, how fast has it warmed or cooled over the last 10 years, and put that all together in a bell curve. So most of the ocean is going to fall right here in the middle where there's been moderate to low warming or cooling. And I've indicated some places here. There's the Gulf of Alaska, which over the last 10 years has cooled. It needs to be updated. They've started turning around. The Gulf of Mexico is about even over the last 10 years. And then the Gulf of Maine is way out here. So at the very edge would be a 4-degree change over a 10-year period. So we're almost way out there. And so we've warmed faster than 99% of the rest of the ocean. And in fact, this holds true. If you look back, this shows the last 10 years. If you look back over the 100 years throughout the temperature record that we have of the ocean, it's basically unprecedented, this rate of warming over the past 10 years. We haven't really seen an ecosystem go through a warming like this. So it's very striking. And what this is showing you is what to expect looking in the future. So one of the tools that we have to sort of look forward are these climate models, and then do them for the ocean as well. And this just tells you kind of what to expect. I think this map is by temperature change by 2100. And again, you can see up where we are in the Gulf of Maine, that's where we're expecting the most warming. Most of the ocean is just sort of, I think that's green. I'm colorblind, so it's probably why I didn't make it as an artist. Most of the ocean is warming at this sort of green level here. A couple of areas are cooling, actually up by Greenland, and that has to do. Actually, that's connected to why we're warming so much faster. So we may be in for some remarkable change that could continue into the future. This, by the way, is what those models look like. I just thought this was a neat animation. So the Gulf of Maine is right here. This is showing deeper water. So the blacked out area is shallow water. And the reason it's showing that is because that's where this sort of warm water comes into the Gulf of Maine. The reason for this, by the way, there's a number of reasons. Part of it is natural fluctuations in temperature. You can get these rapid 10-year warming periods, and then things can go back down and that sort of thing. Part of it is the background warming that sort of the whole ocean is experiencing. And part of it is because the Gulf Stream, which kind of goes off the Carolinas here, it's this sort of warm water that goes off and it heads east towards Europe, is part of that. The Gulf Stream is really tied into the whole circulation of the ocean. And as things warm, this sort of overturning of the ocean looks like it's slowing down. And that tends to force, we're kind of right at the intersection between these two currents that are really important in that circulation. That tends to force more of that warm water up into the Gulf of Maine. This is another way of looking at kind of just the temperature trend. And it's data. It's a sort of smooth temperature record going back to 1980. The black line shows you the 30-year trend, The red line shows you the last 10 years. It actually ends at 2012 up there, but if you, this is something else I need to update. But if you put in the last few years, as I'm sure you know, 2016 is kind of off the charts warm as well. It's really warm in the ocean too. And if you continue out the last few years, that steep slope continues. So, you know, we've had this really rapid warming. This year, 2012, by the way, is really, this last dot on the plot is really what woke us up to the fact that something unusual is going on. I mentioned that we had these kind of Gulf of Maine meetings. It happens once a year. It's called RARGOM, which is a sort of ugly acronym that stands for something about the Gulf of Maine. But it's a really neat sort of time when all the scientists from kind of Cape Cod around to Nova Scotia who are working on the Gulf of Maine, they all get together in this, you know, I think of it as like a high council, but that's not what it is. But just to say, like, what's happening in my part of the Gulf of Maine, what's happening in your part. And in 2013, the year after this happened, everyone was saying, like, this, you know, we're in the middle of a heat wave. Where did my little pointer go? Anyway, that point way up there, I'll use my shadow. You know, we're in the middle of a heat wave. This is something like we've never seen before. And everyone was saying all of the unusual things that happened in 2012. And this is like fall of 2013 that we were talking about. One of the neat slides that came out of that meeting was this one by a guy named Alan Wanamaker, who does this kind of research where he looks at really old clams and other ways that the temperature records are kept for hundreds of years, sort of like rings in a tree. You can think about it that way. You can also do it with hard corals. They keep temperature records over many, many years. And he reconstructs temperatures going back a few hundred years. And this was his temperature reconstruction for a particular location in the Gulf of Maine. And this is where 2012 was. So it was like, you know, warmer than anything we've seen in hundreds of years. And, you know, 2012 is still the warmest year we've seen, but, you know, the other years have been right up there, too. And so at that, and I want to tell a few of the stories that came out of the meeting, because it was really, this is really when the scientific community kind of woke up to how fast things were changing. You might have remembered the kind of the story about lobsters from 2012. That's the first one. I'm just going to go through these. It was so warm, and lobsters, as you probably know, have a migration from offshore to nearshore, which is timed really well with the other migration that happens in Maine from Massachusetts and places like that to coastal Maine. They seem to line up coincidentally really well, and that's really good for the lobster industry. That the migration of lobsters, at least, is triggered by temperature. And in 2012, it was so warm that migration happened about a month and a half early. All these lobsters came inshore. The industry started catching them. At the same time, the processing industry, which is mostly in Canada, was closed down for renovations because it's not the high volume time. And so there wound up being all this extra product on the docks. The prices plummeted, and it really hurt the industry. That was kind of the big... That was the one that made the newspapers across the state. On the flip side, there are these some other fisheries that actually benefited. So that's a longfin squid, the next one, which we historically haven't really seen in the Gulf of Maine. It tends to like warmer waters. It appeared in coastal Maine in 2012, and a fishery sprung up to exploit it. There weren't any sort of restrictions or rights on the fishery already, and so people were able to go out and catch that species and find a market for it. It's not just warm species come to. We often think as the Gulf gets warmer, it's going to be these southern species that come up. That year, there were also the first sightings of bowhead whales, which are these whales here, which is an Arctic species. And normally, we have right whales in the Gulf of Maine, which is kind of a cousin of this whale. But for whatever reason, maybe it was warm in the Arctic too, and they were. This is kind of my theory, is that they were just looking around for new habitat. But there were two sightings of bowhead whales that year. One in Cape Cod Bay, and the other was up by the Bay of Fundy. Another story was the big jellyfish bloom started. That's a comb jelly, which is actually not another non-relative of jellyfish, but is similar in a lot of ways. It started in 2012. I took a group of Bowdoin students out that year to do some sampling of crustaceans. I was going to teach them all about it. You always fill your nets with crustaceans. We didn't catch a single one. All we were catching were these comb jellies. And then over the next few years, we've had these, I don't know, you've probably seen them around here, especially last year and the year before, these big outbreaks of different types of jellyfish. That has a different food web effects. The next picture is a puffin chick, this one here. Yeah, I think it's cute. Some people are horrified. I think it's like this hideous sort of thing, but I think they're really cute. I've done a bunch of work on the puffin colonies as well. And they're just amazing places. It's like this whole universe owned by the seabirds. I felt like, the first time I went, I felt like I was Dorothy landing in Munchkinland. Anyway. I literally felt like that. I could almost hear that eerie music playing. The birds just own the islands. The puffin chicks eat, they live in burrows underground. The adults, the parents, bring them fish that they catch, and they're usually these long, thin, juvenile fish that are like hake or herring or things like that. This particular year, with the comb jellies, another fish had taken the place of these butterfish, which is what you see there. It's wide and flat, and the puffin chicks can't swallow it. And so they have to swallow their food whole. And so there's this big die-off of chicks that year. So there are these other effects that were kind of reaching throughout the food web, and you know, kind of all these pieces were fitting together as people told these stories. And just a couple more, the northern shrimp, which we used to really enjoy here in Maine, that fishery has been closed since 2013. It's a cold water species, and basically it's too warm. It's no fault of managing a fishery in a certain way, but just when a species can't handle the temperatures anymore, we can't really fish it anymore. I think there are a couple of experimental harvest on it that was open this year just to see if maybe they're coming back. If it was just this really one-off year. And you know, the long-term trajectory as we get warm is, you know, the outlook is not good for that species. And then you probably have heard of the green crabs as well. It's another warm water species. They came up once in the 50s when it was really warm, and sure enough, as it got warm in 2012, they came back. They really wreak havoc along the coastline. They sort of re-engineer the shoreline by digging for bivalves and that sort of thing. If you've been wondering why you haven't seen a lot of blue mussels where you used to see them along the shore, that's one of the main reasons. Sort of a nuisance. They're actually, I just read an article about an Italian chef who has just come over here. They have a similar species there that they eat. But you have to harvest them with a really soft shell, and it takes this real expertise to know. Because they're small, you know, you can't just like get a lot of meat out of them like a lobster. Anyway, so they're looking now at, can we like actually find a market for these in Maine? But anyway, a lot of change happened all at once. And to go back to cod, which, like I said, is the reason New England was settled by Europeans in the first place. To put it into perspective, the cod fishery, there's out of that same group is in that did some of those old fisheries images. They used old fishing logs to reconstruct, to make estimates of what the fishery was like at different periods throughout time. There was one year in the 1860s where they were able to put together a really good estimate of the catch out of two harbors, Winter Harbor and, what was the other one? I'm blanking, but like right in that same area. The catch from just those two ports in hand-powered and wind-powered vessels, you know, these are basically people catching cod with hook and line by hand, was about 10,000 metric tons. By comparison, the quota today is about 300 for the whole Gulf of Maine. So it's a really, you know, just to put that point home, it's a really different system. But one of the main reasons that we haven't been able to manage this fishery very well is because we haven't been taking this rapid temperature change into account. So I think this is the last graph I show you. But what it's showing you is, I put here, this is from a paper that came out recently, extra mortality. So every year, the management tries to figure out how much mortality is going to be caused by the fishery, and therefore what they expect the stock to be the following year. And every year over the past 20 or 30 years, there's been this essentially extra mortality. Not every year, some years it's been negative, but the extra mortality that's not taken into account turns out that it correlates really well with temperature. So temperature is affecting the species in a lot of different ways that has made it really difficult for us to manage. And that's one of the main reasons that this species has just continued to decline.